Well, the story, of course, from yesterday, and it's continued right through the last 24 hours, is the mix-up at the Bankstown Lidcombe Hospital, the tragedies involving one newborn baby dying, another left severely brain damaged after they were administered nitrous oxide instead of oxygen shortly after birth. The Minister, Gillian Skinner, is in the frame. There were calls for her to resign. The family of the baby boy who died has demanded she resign over what they've described as a wall of secrecy since the tragedy. Sonia and Yusuf Garman are angry. The minister only called them for the first time yesterday at 3 o'clock, nearly 2 weeks after their baby John died as a result of medical error and almost 24 hours after the tragedy became public. They're not happy that Gillian Skinner attended the Helpman Awards as a representative of government on Monday night. They say if she could go to the awards ceremony, she could have phoned them. It also emerged on Channel 9 last night. It's not the first time there's been a bungle involving an oxygen canister at the hospital. They're saying that back in January 2014, an oxygen bottle ran out in a birthing suite as a baby was being resuscitated. That child was left with significant injuries. In the end, we're going to get an inquiry which will hopefully establish how this could have happened, how this mix-up could have happened in practical terms. But the person in charge and under fire is the Minister, Gillian Skinner, who joins us on the line now. Minister, good morning.
Good morning.
Minister, thanks for joining us. The parents of the baby who died, Sonia and Yusuf Gunham, say that you should resign over the way that this has been handled. And they say that you put up a wall of secrecy rather than providing them with the answers they needed. Are you going to quit?
No, I'm not going to quit. And I think there are others that have called for my resignation. But look, the reality is, I think that's reasonable if there'd been ongoing systemic errors which I could have prevented. But this, sadly, was not that sort of situation. It was a one-off. Theatre and this line had only been used on two occasions, and the tragedy is that this was a devastating error that affected those two babies.
But the one of the tragedies here too is that it's been handled appallingly by the health department. You're the minister.
Well, you see, I don't agree with that. I discovered this at 5 o'clock on Thursday evening last. Immediately, I demanded, and the ministry and all involved put into action measures to, first of all, prevent it happening again, then to determine exactly how it happened, and to ensure that all of the lines in our newly installed operating theatres over the last 5 years were checked. Hang on a sec.
It's okay. It's all right.
That's it.
Quirky voice, sorry.
That's right. That's okay.
Yeah. Can I ask you one thing? Why did it then, if you were informed on Thursday afternoon, did it take you 5 days before you contacted the families?
Well, let's put this into context. I discovered at 5 o'clock on Friday. That's when the health department discovered this. They have to inform the two families. The last thing I was going to do was to do that myself or to even go public about it. They have to be very carefully treated when being informed, with counsellors, with clinicians and doctors present when they're being informed. The first family was told on the Friday, the second family on the Saturday. First family asked for privacy while they dealt with it. So did the parents of the second family.
The Gunhams say that they asked that their privacy be respected, and they deny that, actually. They say they never said that to anyone.
Well, the doctors and others who were involved in that information session, who also worked with them on the Sunday, that's where I'm getting that advice, okay? So I tried to call them first thing yesterday morning. The phone wasn't answered. I then got a message to them, could they take my call? And that happened later in the day after a couple of issues that, you know, I tried, and they asked me to call back, which I did.
Right. You were due to speak to the family of the other newborn caught up in this last night. Did that phone call go ahead?
Yep. Yes, it did.
What did they have to say to you?
They were incredibly courteous and extremely sad. That's all I can say about that conversation. It was one of the saddest conversations I've ever had.
And just to clarify, so the other family, the Gunhams, they had doctors with them, what, on Friday, on Saturday and Sunday, is that right? And the clinicians and the
psychologists? That's my understanding. They had doctors and counsellors, etc., with them.
Yep.
And, you know, on the first occasion, they really couldn't take it in, as you can understand. I mean, this is just horrific. How could you understand that this sort of thing had happened?
But do you understand it? Do you know yet how it happened?
Well, I've got the initial understanding, but that's why we're having these...
What's your initial understanding? I mean, well, this is a matter of grave public importance.
Okay, it is. Look, you referred to that the previous occasion that has now been revealed. The previous occasion occurred in 2014 when an oxygen cylinder ran out and a baby had to be transported to another area and was, as a consequence, damaged. As a consequence of that, they installed these lines that come through the wall, and it was that installation that was done in 2015, in July 2015, that was the problem. Now, that involved the company that provides the gas, but it also involved, as I understand it at the moment, an engineer from the hospital. But that's where the inquiry is going. I need to know exactly what happened. And there are Australian standards that need to be followed. We need to know, were they followed? And we're looking at that, not just in that hospital, and all eight operating theatres have been checked. That one's closed, by the way.
It seems incredible that this tragedy was allowed to happen twice, though, that you've had two babies administered nitrous oxide.
Indeed, and I asked that. The first baby, look, I'm not going into the clinical details, and because of the privacy of the parents, I will say that, you know, it wasn't picked up that this was a problem until the death of the second baby.
There's been some suggestion that the anaesthetist should have had picked some of this up. Is that your understanding as well? Is that part of the inquiry?
Look, no, not necessarily. And I'm not going to second-guess an inquiry that's underway. But some of the Australian standards, I think, suggests that an anaesthetist is, or a clinician is, the person most likely to want to be doing these checks. And that stands to reason. They're the ones that are using the equipment.
Right. This incident took place in 2014 when that oxygen bottle ran out in the birthing suite.
Yes.
Now, you say that child was damaged and was left with significant injuries. What sort of significant injuries are we talking about here?
I don't know, and I don't think that's ever been revealed. It's done as part of what's called a root cause analysis. Anytime anything happens in a hospital that it's unexpected or an error, it goes to an analysis through this root cause analysis. They look at everything, all of the clinical actions and everything else, and that is what drives our performance improvement. I can't tell you, except the records say that there was damage to that baby.
Are you aware if the family were compensated after that incident?
I'm not aware, but I'd be extremely surprised if they were not.
Well, because there's a big issue here at the moment as to whether or not the families of the two babies in the most recent cases will be receiving compensation.
Look, I think this is a lot of speculation. The truth of the matter is where there's a disability occurs, there is damage, and there is absolute pathway for that to occur. In a case where the baby has died, that's where it's apparently, under the legal system, more questionable. But I have already indicated these parents will be compensated.
All right. Look, it's only a few months, I guess, since word came out of another scandal involving St Vincent's Hospital. We had that case, cancer patients given incorrect doses of chemotherapy drugs.
Yes.
What confidence can patients in New South Wales public hospitals have that they will receive the correct dose of the intended drug?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's one of the reasons why last Thursday at 5 o'clock I immediately put in place measures to give a guarantee to patients that this kind of thing was being looked at and was not going to happen again. That's why we do this root cause analysis, to learn and then put in place measures to prevent repetition. Mm-hmm. In terms of the St Vincent's underdosing claims, that was where immediately we put in place an inquiry headed by Professor David Currow, head of the Cancer Institute.
Yep.
His interim report came out with a number of findings which were endorsed or accepted by all. His final report is due by the end of the month, which is the end of this week.
Can I just ask you now, in hindsight, and we had a lot of calls about this yesterday, do you accept your decision to attend the Helpman Awards was a pretty bad misjudgment on your part?
Well, look, put it this way.
It's not a good look, was it?
Look, it might not have been, but I was representing the government. There's nothing I could have done between 7:30 and 10:30 that evening. Except, I guess...
You would agree, though, that appearances do matter, don't they, particularly
sorry.
In politics?
Sorry?
Appearances do matter, particularly in politics.
Yes, no, I accept that. I accept that.
Isn't there also a difficulty, and I've been one of your champions as health minister.
I know, you've been very kind.
And yet going back to when Reba Maher was health minister, when there were dramas, some terrible dramas that really weren't something that she could have prevented, you would call for her resignation at that time. Isn't this the same as that?
Well, look, I don't know calling her for her resignation over the incident. It's how she handled it thereafter. It's the test is whether you put in place measures to find out what went wrong, you address the people concerned, and whether you put in place things to prevent it happening again. That's where I think the minister and in fact the senior bureaucrats have to be accountable.
Isn't there also...
It's the notion of the Westminster system and that idea of ministerial responsibility, is that now dead? Can we just forget about that then?
Oh, no, not at all. Well, you see, Westminster ministerial responsibility, I would claim, relies upon the minister acting appropriately when something like this occurs, and I believe that I have.
Yeah. But you are responsible for the staff in the Department of Health, and if it's found that one or more of them have not followed proper procedures, then you will have to accept responsibility on their negligence.
I will have to accept responsibility for what is then follows. If somebody's found negligent, I would expect, and take me out of this for a minute, just any minister, if somebody's found negligent, then the minister would have to ensure that there were correct disciplinary procedures, including removal, were put in place.
We've just had a caller. She won't come on air, but she's just said her daughter is booked in to go to Bankstown Hospital to deliver a baby in the next week or so. Will she be safe? Can you give her a reassurance?
I can. You see, that's the very reason why I put in place all of those things immediately on Thursday night. All of the operating theatres have been checked. Every gas line has been checked. This particular theatre has been closed and will remain closed until after the coronial hearing.
Is there a broader issue here? Mike Baird told us, I think it was about a year ago, that we needed a lot more money for the health system in New South Wales.
Yes.
He was talking about increasing the GST. Are things like this going to be a function of not having enough resources because the system is going to go off a cliff, as he described, eventually? We don't have enough funds and enough resources.
Well, look, when the Premier was talking to you about that, it was at the point where the Commonwealth was... intending to cut the funding to hospitals to a formula that relied upon CPI plus population growth. And that would have meant a big reduction in our growth funding. Fortunately, he and the Treasurer in New South Wales were successful in persuading the Commonwealth to revert back to the formula, which was about funding activity plus 45% of growth, which is where we are now and where the agreement goes till the end of, I think it's 2020.
Yeah. So you're saying it's not a resources issue?
Not at the moment. It could be into the future beyond 2020.
Well, you spend a lot of time in hospitals. Will you go out to Bankstown and have a look for yourself?
I certainly would. And I tell you this, I would have a procedure there too.
Okay. All right. Minister, thank you.
Thank you.
The Minister for Health, Gillian Skinner, what do you make of that?
Well, you know what, I just don't understand why it took 5 days for her to make that phone call to the family and why it's taken 5 days. We know that the Department of Health obfuscated and were trying to keep it quiet because our newsroom was tipped off about this on Monday afternoon. Yep. And we rang them repeatedly and they made sure that they ducked and weaved enough to try and delay the announcement because they wanted their little press conference on Tuesday morning.
And the family's denying that they asked for privacy, but as the minister's saying that the doctors who were involved with that family both on the Saturday and the Sunday, they had a lot of people with them.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen here, and ultimately it gets down to the minister.